everyone. Thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's February 2019, and you're listening to episode 110, Ancient Aliens. On this episode, I'm joined by Robert Velarde, who is the author of several books, including Conversations with C.S. Lewis and The Wisdom of Pixar. He received his MA from Southern Evangelical Seminary and has served as an adjunct faculty member at Denver Seminary. Robert wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Did Ancient Extraterrestrials Visit Earth? And it's available free online at our website, equip.org. Robert, it's good to have you on.
Great to be on, Melanie.
Well, we wanted to have an article on this topic because it seems like a little odd topic, but if people are kind of history buffs, they might know that the program called Ancient Aliens is on the History Channel, and it premiered back in 2010, but 8 years later, it's still going strong. It's on there. And this particular program explores this, you know, pretty controversial theory that extraterrestrials, aliens, have visited Earth for millions of years, from all the way back to, like, you know, prehistoric times, dinosaurs, till, you know, including current supposed mass sightings in the United States. And so they kind of give some, I don't know, historic veneer, I guess, on this very speculative area, and it's fairly controversial, I think, but it's become such a big thing that they even have a alien convention. It's called Alien Con, where people hold to these various theories and kind of gather. And I read about it in the New York Times, and I guess there's going to be another one this year. So at the end of June in Los Angeles, they're going to have the next Alien Con. So it is something that's fairly popular. So that's why we wanted to talk to Robert about it. And he wrote this article for us a couple of years ago. So why do you think that people believe that ancient aliens visited Earth?
Well, that's a good question, Melanie. I think by nature, people want to believe in something. They want answers to reality. They want to make sense of it. And, you know, things like popular TV shows, I'm thinking the X-Files, would often note, they would use this quote, "I want to believe." So I think some people just want to believe in something, and they maybe disregard other worldview answers and set them aside in favor of something that they perceive as being more fascinating or sensational. And, you know, also the solution of ancient aliens doesn't really confront us with the problems of our human condition or the personal need for the remedy. It's just more of an interesting thing to think about, I think, that people are interested in.
This is interesting. I was just, in fact, even today, having a conversation with my oldest son who just graduated from college, and we were just talking about virtual reality, and I was saying that I was going to do this podcast, and he was, you know, we're just talking about, well, do you think there's aliens out there? And how do you think, probably, especially in his age group that's kind of grown up with this idea of aliens and Star Wars and all this stuff in pop culture, how do you think that various things in pop culture has contributed to the idea that maybe ancient aliens did and do still visit Earth?
Well, I think a lot of this popularity of, you know, so-called unidentified flying objects and aliens, you know, sort of came about at the latter half of the 20th century. You know, you've got the alleged crash of an alien ship in Roswell, New Mexico in the late 40s. You have kind of the rise of this idea that ancient aliens existed and visited Earth, and coming about sort of in the late 1960s. And, you know, through film, through television, through books, I mean, it's something that's fairly common. You know, I think even going far back to the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, is this idea that aliens are somehow involved in the development of human beings on Earth. The Stargate movie, a lot of TV spinoffs of that. You know, even the most recent Indiana Jones movie, Prometheus, a film in the Alien series, sort of touted this idea of ancient aliens as well. So it's something that, you know, is not only permeated culture and even kind of made fun of in some shows, but that's been taken seriously. It's not sort of kind of come in from the fringes into something that could even be a television show on the History Channel.
It does seem kind of almost crazy that it's on the History Channel specifically, because it does seem so, you know, controversial. Now, there is a book out there called Chariots of the Gods, and can you tell us a little bit about this book and how it influenced this idea of ancient aliens.
Sure, and that was definitely a seminal book in this entire movement, just the idea that alien astronauts sort of visited Earth in the past, were involved maybe in some of the architectural marvels of the world, had something to do with life on Earth. And the author of that book, Erich von Däniken, was published in German back in the late 60s, and then it became a documentary film. And that really kind of sparked this whole idea, this UFO fascination, that, you know, that aliens have somehow visited Earth in the past, in the distant past. And this book is so far-fetched and full of illogical reasoning and leaps of logic that I remember taking a course on science fiction many years ago, and our professor used this book as a science fiction example because of some of the extremely outlandish ideas in it. And this book has been refuted by a number of people. In the early 70s, it was refuted by a book called Crash Go the Chariots. But the idea itself, I think, fascinated people. You know, of course, in 1969, we had the moon landing. So I think the timing of this book sort of tied into that fascination with space. And since then, you know, it's come out of the fringes, and this idea is now found even in, you know, the likes of the co-founder of DNA, Francis Crick.
Now, I know that supporters of ancient alien theories, they sometimes claim that certain things like the pyramids or Stonehenge or even the program Ancient Aliens had an episode saying that Easter Island, those statues were constructed by aliens. So how did they come to these conclusions and do they make sense? I mean, you know, no one really has a history. Well, how did these big things get there? Well, it must be aliens. And so how do they come to these conclusions?
Sure, and I think that's just an interest in the history of things that we find on Earth. There's certainly some element of mystery. We weren't there at the time these things were made, and there's some speculation, well, is this beyond the human technology of the time? Is it too advanced for humans to have made these things? That's generally the theory. You know, something with Stonehenge might be, well, what is it for? What is its purpose? Is it some astronomical site that has some insight into space? Or with the pyramids, you know, are they too advanced for us to have made? In other words, one argument is that the technology at the time necessary to build these sites is just beyond human capability. You know, there's a lot of problems with these theories, you know, least of which would be that, you know, or most significantly, I rather would say, is that there are alternative explanations that are rooted in just human ingenuity that can explain these things. There's lots of theories about how these sites were constructed by human beings alone. And I think in general, the questions we need to ask are, you know, what is more probable? What's the simplest explanation? What's the most reasonable explanation? We can't just say, well, I don't know for sure, therefore aliens did it.
And what about people who would hold to, is it tied into people who also like to hold to conspiracy theories, for example, because various episodes they have, you know, you mentioned Area 51, that was kind of also even a focus of, you know, various different TV shows and the X-Files and those kinds of things, that these are, you know, cover-ups from the government trying to do experiments on aliens, or the U.S. Department of Defense is spending money studying UFOs and they're not telling us, or various governments around the world are making contacts with aliens and trying to keep them secretive. Is there kind of a conspiracy theory theme, I guess, that runs through this?
Well, broadly speaking, I would say it's hard to categorize people who adhere to these views, you know, either the view that ancient aliens exist and visited Earth, or that there are aliens out there and that the government is aware of them. I think, you know, there may be three broad categories of people who kind of fall into this. One, I think, would be, you know, what used to be called the New Age or New Spirituality adherents that think they're getting some sort of religious or meaningful messages from aliens. I think there's a group of people who, as you said, are conspiracy theorists who believe that the government has known about this all along, that there's photographic evidence, that we know about this, and we just don't want to panic the public. And I think another group is just some individuals who maybe might even have a more scientific bent and just think, well, there might be something to this. And I think within that category, there are even some naturalists, those who deny the supernatural, who are looking for an explanation for reality that doesn't seem to quite work if we say that life on Earth arose without any intelligence, that it just came about as a chance process. But the conspiracy theorists, certainly I think that's part of it. You know, they think there's some sort of cover-up. You know, highly unlikely, I would say, not that the government can't be involved in conspiracies, but, you know, the government is not that organized. I think we give them far more credit than they deserve in some cases, especially when it comes to covering up something so massive that several people would know about.
Well, what does the Bible have to say about aliens? I mean, I think that that was part of my conversation that I was having with my son. We were talking about, well, could there be aliens, or what does the Bible have to say about aliens? Does it have anything to say about aliens?
Well, the proponents of these ancient aliens theories think so. A lot of times they will say that, well, you know, there's indications that Moses interacted with space aliens, that Ezekiel is describing alien ships. And a lot of what is going on here is just reading into the biblical text what the authors didn't intend. You know, it would be what James Sayer called in his book Scripture Twisting. He called it worldview confusion. This, he says, is when it occurs whenever a reader of Scripture fails to interpret the Bible within the intellectual and cultural framework of the Bible itself and uses instead a foreign frame of reference. I think that is what is going on in a lot of these cases where Eric von Daniken, for example, describes the Ark of the Covenant as being electrically charged, and he draws all these conclusions from the biblical text, which really has nothing to do with this, and this idea is very foreign to that culture. I think the most we could extrapolate from biblical data is that if alien life exists, then it too was created by God. But we also need to point out that the biblical evidence indicates God is the direct creator of human life, not alien intelligences.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Robert Velarde, and Robert wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Did Ancient Extraterrestrials Visit Earth? And it's available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more apologetics articles like this one, please subscribe to the journal. To subscribe, go online and visit our website, equip.org. We were talking about, you know, aliens and the Bible, and I do want our listeners to know that several years ago, we published an article called Would Extraterrestrial Intelligent Life Spell Doom for Christianity? And it's written by an astrophysicist, and it's available free online at our website, equip.org. So if you want are wondering, what if there are other life forms out there, and does that mean that Christianity isn't true? Please read this article on our website. So what does it mean when someone says aliens seeded life on Earth?
Well, that's a good question, and there really are just a limited number of options to explain the origins of human life. You know, the Christian theism option is that God specially created human life and was directly involved in that process. The other major competing view, at least in Western cultures, is the naturalistic explanation. That is that human life originated as a result of an undirected or chance process over a long period of time. Now, some of the difficulties with that naturalistic view has sort of prodded some scientific types into the direction of saying, well, if it couldn't have come about on its own spontaneously over a period of time in an undirected sense, maybe life on Earth was seeded. In other words, some alien intelligence, an extraterrestrial intelligence, seeded life on Earth, causing it to develop in some way, you know, perhaps bringing human life about or jump-starting it.
So in this article, you mention the term panspermia. Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. Panspermia in itself is a word that's derived from the Greek, which means containing all kinds of seed. And the concept of directed panspermia, and the word directed is key here because a directed involves an intelligence. This is the view that an extraterrestrial intelligence guided or directed the rise of life on Earth. Now, Francis Crick, the co-discoverer of DNA, has touted this idea as a possibility, as has atheist Richard Dawkins. And this really is a problematic viewpoint, but it is one that I think has naturalists sort of cornered. If they can't explain the rise of human intelligence and life on the basis of an evolutionary model or a chance model, then they sort of try to push it back to this extraterrestrial guidance.
And so does this particular theory of panspermia, does it solve the question like you were talking about? You know, sometimes people are holding to this idea of ancient aliens because that seems like something logical that could explain human origins.
Well, as a what I'd call an ad hoc theory, it does explain human origins, but there are serious problems with the solution that directed panspermia offers. You know, there's the question of the evidence in support of this view. It lacks an empirical foundation, which is a key aspect of science. It's an ad hoc theory. It's just sort of come about because they have a tough time explaining another way that human life may have originated. It's, I think, an escape hatch in some ways for naturalists who deny God, but also it may acknowledge that the rise of life by an undirected process of chance and time is improbable. So I think as a whole, this concept just pushes the question back. If ancient aliens' intelligences, if they seeded life on Earth, then the question becomes, well, who created those aliens? And you keep going back and back and back, and well, what's the solution? What is the original intelligence behind all of this? So it doesn't really solve the problem. It just provides an escape hatch, I think, for naturalists who have a hard time saying that life arose through chance and time.
Now, I did mention in my introduction of you that you've authored a few books, and one of those is about C.S. Lewis, and he did have a series of books called The Space Trilogy. And did he have to say anything about aliens in his writing?
He did, and in fact, in many ways, Lewis was, if not prophetic, at least prescient in his ideas, not only anticipating the rise of things like postmodernism, but anticipating some objections to Christianity, including the possibility of alien life. You know, you've mentioned his Space Trilogy, or sometimes called the Ransom Trilogy, his book that begins with the book Out of the Silent Planet. Lewis also wrote an essay called Religion and Rocketry, and the original title was actually Will We Lose God in Outer Space? And this you can find today in his collection of essays called The World's Last Night. But in this essay, Lewis sort of considers a variety of possibilities. You know, one of the possibilities is interesting, that he thinks these astronomical distances in space between us and not only other planets but other galaxies or stars is a sort of quarantine. It's a way of God to quarantine humanity, this fallen race that he doesn't want infecting or spreading its sin disease, basically, to other parts of the universe. Lewis also kind of speculated that there could be fallen and unfallen life in other worlds. And if so, what is the idea of redemption when it comes to that? You know, in the end, Lewis said, well, you know, this is all kind of speculative. We even need to address some of these questions unless they actually become a reality. But to the fact that he even broached some of these issues, and I believe that it was back in the 1950s he did this, is pretty insightful. I think it is helpful, given our climate now, to have an idea of, well, what are the implications of alien life to Christianity? Does it make a difference?
If there's, you know, let's say, you know, this series has been exploring ancient aliens for a while. So if there is any kind of evidence that they turn up that ancient aliens did visit Earth, how do you think it would affect Christianity?
Well, I would say to preface that it's highly doubtful that this would happen. But let's assume it does. You know, for the sake of argument of Christianity, what does that mean for faith? Well, it doesn't mean that we suddenly lose all the evidence for the existence of God. That still stands. The evidence for Christ and his resurrection still stands. The evidence for the state of the human condition and the need for some kind of radical correction or redemption still stands. As C.S. Lewis put it in his essay, Religion and Rocketry, he said, what we believe always remains intellectually possible. In other words, the reality of alien life does not change the fact or the arguments for God's existence or the reality of Christianity.
And earlier we were talking about various different types of people who would be interested in theories about ancient aliens. So why do you think there are so many people who are interested in this subject?
Well, to kind of paraphrase Aristotle, he said, everyone by nature desires to know. People are wired, in other words, to want to know answers to the big questions of life. Where do we come from? Why are we here? And I think ancient aliens theories offer solutions, but without the negative consequences about human nature or our true needs. You know, Christianity posits that human beings are fallen, there's broken, there's some big problem with the human condition that only God can remedy. And I think by turning instead to ancient aliens, we avoid that. We don't have to confront that. And I think that's seen even in the choices of worldviews that people make. Atheism doesn't have to confront things like that. Pantheism doesn't have to confront things like that. So I think that sort of gives people something to believe in without necessarily impinging on their way of life or their personal human issues.
In your article, you specifically, you make an analogy between biblical interpretation and the topic of ancient aliens. Can you please unpack that for us?
Sure. Well, the whole area of biblical interpretation is called hermeneutics, just how we interpret text, and specifically how we interpret biblical text. And I think the analogy that I see with a lot of the ancient aliens supporters or proponents is they draw out from the evidence that they find what they want to get out of it. In other words, they read into the text what isn't really there instead of saying, well, what does this author, what does this evidence intend in its context? I think supporters of ancient alien theories often read their preconceptions or biases into the data or the evidence that exists. Now, in biblical interpretation, this is a big problem. We want to try to interpret things in their own context. We want to draw out from the text what the original author intended. That's known as exegesis, rather than sort of project our view onto the text, which is known as eisegesis.
You've written about theories that cause, you know, us to admit everything we know is wrong. So what do you mean by that? And how does it specifically relate to ancient aliens?
Sure. Many years back, I co-authored a book called Examining Alternative Medicine with a couple of doctors. And we categorized different forms of alternative medical treatment into different areas. And one of the categories we developed was everything we know is wrong. And what this means essentially is if a theory causes us to question the very foundations of what we know, including basic principles, then this theory must be able to withstand the most rigorous criticisms. In other words, we can't suddenly say, well, human life originated because extraterrestrial intelligence has started it. Well, that kind of tosses out all kinds of things. That tosses out not only Christianity and theistic viewpoints, but it also calls into question even evolutionary theory and naturalistic explanations. I think any kind of theory like that, that essentially says everything we know is wrong, needs to have an extraordinary amount of evidence that is compelling and must be able to withstand a lot of criticisms in order to stand up to its claims. And the ancient aliens theories just does not have that robust worldview nature to it.
So how do you respond to support of ancient aliens? Because, you know, like I even mentioned at the beginning, there's alien con. There's a lot of people out there who feel very committed and have strong convictions that ancient aliens have been around since, you know, the very beginnings of Earth. And they'll claim that you can't disprove their viewpoint, especially, I mean, you know, it keeps going. This series has been on the History Channel for 8 years, and every week they have some other speculative thing that will point to how history has been impacted by aliens. And so they will tell Christians, well, you can't disprove that aliens don't exist.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And in addition to, you know, the conference you mentioned, there's a an event in Roswell, New Mexico as well, where people sort of get together and talk about the supposed crash of this alien spacecraft back in the 40s. If a viewpoint is not able to be disproved, then we can't disprove anything. And essentially all bets are off when it comes to knowledge and truth. I would say that the person making the claim that alien intelligences exist and visited Earth in the distant past, they have the burden of proof. They need to produce the credible evidence in support of their viewpoint. They need to respond to reasonable criticisms. And until they offer a better explanation for reality, their viewpoint is just not tenable. I mean, someone could say that unicorns live on Jupiter, and well, you can't disprove it. The burden of proof question is important. And that is when we make that claim, whether it's alien-seeded life or aliens exist, we need to have some sort of backing for that. We need to provide the evidence and the proof for it.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of ideas out there, whether it's ancient aliens or maybe, respected scientists who hold to panspermia or religions and all of these different types of thing trying to explain human origins. So I guess the question people will have is, how can we know it's really true?
Well, I think in general, at least in the area of philosophy, we've got three main areas here. And what the answer to your question has to do with one of them. Now, one area is what is ultimate reality? And that essentially is the metaphysics of it, the metaphysical questions. Another aspect would be, well, what do we do about it, or the so what question, and that would be ethics, the second major category of philosophy. Now, the question about how can we know what is true when it comes to things like this, that would be the how do we know it question. And in philosophy, we call that epistemology. And what is knowledge? And a lot of philosophers would say, well, knowledge is justified true belief. And the way we come to find out what we know, or what we know is true or not, is to determine what is the best explanation of reality. And of course, Christianity is very open to the use of the mind. Christ told us in Matthew 22:37 to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told to examine everything carefully. So I think applying our human intelligences to the problem, understanding how to test theories, how to evaluate theories in worldviews or ideas is important. You'll find an excellent overview of how to test worldview claims in Doug Rothheis's book, Christian Apologetics, for instance. And we need to sort of weigh the evidence. And the best explanation of reality, in my assessment as a Christian and a philosopher, is that Christianity offers that best explanation. And ancient aliens theories is way down the list of possibilities there when one really starts to get into the pros and cons of these viewpoints.
This has been a very thoughtful conversation and on a very, kind of very contemporary hot topic in popular culture. So thank you. And finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Robert. So Robert, it's still the winter months. Chicken noodle soup or beef stew?
Oh, I got to go with the chicken noodle soup, especially in the cold of Colorado spring, where colds are all too common.
Are you an introvert or extrovert?
Definitely an introvert. I am on the INTJ of the Myers-Briggs, or what you would consider 2% or less of the population. So, definitely keep to myself, but I do enjoy interviews like this and helping people understand these different ideas.
You know, it's interesting. I'm actually also an INTJ, and I think I've read that it's a real small percentage, but it's even more uncommon for women to be INTJs. So I thought that was interesting. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Oh, night owl. My ideal job, which I had years ago when I was in college, I worked noon until 9 o'clock. And it was perfect for me. So definitely I get a lot more work done in the evenings. And the problem there is getting up early for work, of course.
As far as alien-themed films in pop culture, Men in Black or Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Oh, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, primarily because I was around during the release of that film, and I remember it clearly, and just had such extensive influence, I think, in culture at that time. You can't beat Richard Dreyfuss making a mountain out of mashed potatoes.
True. And how old were you when you became a Christian?
Oh, I would say I was in my early 20s. Yeah, I was in college at the time. So without dating myself too much, it's been quite a while. In fact, Melanie, I think I've known you for almost 30 years.
Well, today's guest is Robert Velarde, and I want to thank him for being on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Melanie.
Today's guest is Robert Velarde, and Robert wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Did Ancient Extraterrestrials Visit Earth? It's available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more apologetics articles like this one, please subscribe to the journal. To subscribe, visit our website, equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. And please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.